Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program.
North Texas is home to once startups like Texas Instruments, Broadcast.com, and more recently Match.com and Travelocity. The tech hub has even been dubbed Silicon Prairie. Still, Dallas and Fort Worth have trouble competing for top talent with places like Austin, San Francisco, and Denver. Well, a group of entrepreneurs and angel investors are fueling a North Texas startup revival of sorts, and I'm joined by three of them now. Bradley Joyce, he's founder of Launch DFW, which promotes startups across the Metroplex. Missy Malone, founder of Spontaneity Natural Nail Salon and a graduate of Dallas's Health Wildcatters Accelerator Program. And finally, Craig Lewis, founder of Kairos, I'm sorry, I don't want to mispronounce that, facial recognition, and a graduate of a San Francisco business accelerator. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you very much.
So, Bradley, start off by giving a little bit of the lay of the land for startups in Dallas-Fort Worth. What's the sort of environment look like today?
Yeah, the environment today is actually pretty good, and it's come a really long way since I first came into the Metroplex back in around 2006, 2007. There's just a lot more activity going on, a lot more startups being created every day, every year. There's a lot more programs and support for entrepreneurs here in the North Texas area. So we have great things like Tech Wildcatters and Health Wildcatters, which are seed accelerator programs. We have tons of co-working spaces where startups can get support. We have things like the Dallas Entrepreneur Center. So there's just so much activity going on right now and so many resources for startups to be successful.
Why that change? Why has it boomed?
It's, I think, a combination of things. A lot of people here locally in the community making a concerted effort to create a better place for startups here in town. I can think back all the way to 2008 with things like the Dallas Startup Happy Hour, which was an event created by Alex Muse. And it was sort of the first kind of event and sort of the new wave of tech stuff happening here in Dallas that really brought people together. And so that's been going on since 2008, and we still do it today, and there's, you know, hundreds of people that show up for that. And then you have the combination of, like, low-cost living expenses. That's a big piece of it. People are kind of looking at, well, do I want to go out to Silicon Valley and, you know, I got to pay $4,000 a month for a studio? I don't know. You know, so there's things like that that make it pretty scary. And I think Dallas has a lot of the combination of things to really make it work.
So, Missy, you were accepted into an accelerator program. Before we talk a little bit about your experience, describe what are these seed accelerator programs and why does someone want to join one?
Well, for me, the experience was, I can't even describe what the experience was. It gave me a sense of confidence and basically shared the opportunities that I would have never received, financial, expertise, mentoring, just a wealth of information, all done within a very short period of time. But for someone that's kind of looking for direction or guidance, I really think it would be beneficial for any startup to join an accelerator program.
And the one that you joined, that you applied for, and it's a competitive application process.
It
so
is.
They only accept a group of, I think, 12 at a time.
That
for,
is correct.
For the one, and you live and work in the same, well, you don't live there, but some people live there.
Some
they camp out, I guess.
Some people actually live in the area because a lot of the participants were from out of state.
Uh-huh.
I just happened to be one of the lucky ones from Fort Worth, so I drove back and forth. But yes, you are spending a great deal of your time there at the accelerator program.
And I visited the Health Wildcatters practice pitch session last year where you were basically making your pitch for your business, Spontaneity. Let's listen to you then.
Oh, God. The U.S. nail industry is a $10 billion market. 40% of the women who frequent nail salons visit at least twice a month, sometimes more. 30% of those visiting the nail salons are chronically ill. This lets us know this is a huge market, but very much underserved. Until now, introducing Spontaneity, the first medical nail salon franchise.
So you survived. That wasn't even to the angel investors. That was just a practice earlier on.
Yes. And I'm like, my heart is beating now because I feel like I'm reliving it.
What was the response of investors to your business and your pitch?
Well, I have to be honest with you. It was a little challenging in the beginning because most of the mentors are men. So many of them are not frequenting nail salons. So It was a little challenging in that I had to get my point across that this is a very beneficial, needed service. This is more than just fluff and buff or polishing or painting a flower on a nail. But I think once I got the information down and provided more clarity, I started to get a very positive response.
And now, Craig, you participated in a different accelerator program. Is that right? In the San Francisco Bay Area?
Yes.
So what was that?
And so it was the NUMMI Accelerator, and it's for minority entrepreneurship. And they actually, Angela Benton is the CEO there, and she tours the country looking for minority entrepreneurship and talent. And then you go through a 13-week program where you get to talk to mentors, and you tour Google Campus and Facebook and Apple, and the program's backed by some of the top investors in the country, Andreessen Horowitz, Google for Entrepreneurs, and it was just an amazing experience to really see what that ecosystem was like and be a part of that and then bring it back here.
So after you went through that accelerator program, what did you do with your business? Where did you go next?
Yeah, so my partner actually is a Miami guy. So we actually set up at a co-work space in Miami, Miami Lab. And then from there, we came out here to the Dallas area too, which actually happened to be the number one and two fastest growing cities in the country. So we thought that would be an ideal place to start. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we left there, launched in Miami, got a feel for that, and then came and submerged ourselves here in this Dallas ecosystem as well.
So what have you noticed about the differences between the Dallas ecosystem and the Miami and even San Francisco?
Yeah, so the thing that's interesting is all of those places have identities. And so Silicon Valley certainly has its identity, and there's a lot of things to speak to that. Miami's done a great job over the last 18 months of really creating its identity, which is more of an international flavor. So you get a lot of international entrepreneurship initiatives, as well as they have a direct channel to South America. One of the things that's interesting about Dallas is I think we're finding our identity. One of the things you mentioned was Silicon Prairie. I'm not a huge fan of the Silicon knockoff terms.
I'm waiting for the calls to come in.
I'm more excited about really finding out who we are and identifying what we can do unique to Dallas, because I think there's some tremendous opportunity to become one of the best tech hubs in the world based off of some of the resources and things we have here.
Yeah, and Dallas does rank pretty high in terms of places to open a small business on a lot of the lists. Why is that, Bradley? What are some of the reasons?
Yeah, so I think it kind of goes back again to a combination of things like low cost of living, low cost of starting a business in Texas. Taxes is a big issue as well, right? So there's no personal income tax in the state of Texas. Business taxes are fairly low compared to a lot of states. And so it's just a really business-friendly environment. And when you pair that with the low cost of living, quality of schools, quality of some of the places and neighborhoods and cities around, it's really hard to beat in a lot of cases.
And I'd add to that because startups are very innovative and disruptive. And Texas in general is a place that there's low business regulation. So a lot of the things you can't get achieved, maybe even in California without having to go through legislation early, you can get done here. So I think Elon Musk had the tunnel deal from San Francisco to L.A. Well, they're going to have a lot of challenges with that. So now the talk is about Dallas to Austin because it's just a lot easier from a legislation perspective. There's less hurdles to kind of get over. So I think those things kind of add to startups and innovation as well.
Now, although Dallas does rank high, like I said, in places to open a small business, it still has trouble competing with some other places, San Francisco, Denver. Those places get better marks. What is it that is, besides, you know, a lot of times the weather and things like that, what is it that's drawing entrepreneurs to those locations that's different than Dallas?
I think, in my opinion, a big piece of that is the investment ecosystem. Here in Dallas, the early stage high risk capital is very, very hard to come by. There's certainly no shortage of money. There's a lot of money. It's mostly oil and gas and real estate and that type of background. And so the types of investors that are out here looking to do deals are very different kind of demographic than the investors that might be, say, in San Francisco, where they kind of live and breathe the technology ecosystem every single day. And so I think, you know, investors like to invest in things that they know. And here in Dallas, they know business and they know finance and they know the numbers and they know revenue. And so when you come to them with like a high risk, like high technology type of thing, at the early stages when you don't have a lot of customers and don't have a lot of revenue, that's a really tough sell here in Dallas. And I think we need to change that in order to kind of continue to build our ecosystem.
Is it possible to change that without changing how all these people make their money?
I think so. I mean, you see a lot more interest now. And I think Tech Wildcatters and Health Wildcatters have really helped this by bringing in a lot of people who might not normally invest on their own in a tech deal, but kind of pooling resources together and saying, hey, like, we've gone through this vetting process. There's an application process. We've reviewed all these people. We've looked into their backgrounds. And, like, we think these would be a good bet for you to put your money behind. And so kind of pooling their funds in such a way kind of makes that first step a little bit easier. So I think that's been a great start, and I think we'll continue to see more of that over time.
And now, Missy, what kind of resources did you find available or lacking in Dallas and Fort Worth as you went about starting your business?
Well, you have to keep in mind, I started this whole concept just blindly. I went from being a stay-at-home mom to just thinking, oh, I want to go to the spa or have the spa come to me. So there was no business plan in place. I was not thinking about resources. It was just, how do I get this out? Now, however, since joining the Accelerator program, it has put me in touch with a wealth of resources and networking opportunities that I probably never would have gotten to experience. And like Bradley mentioned, this is a really high-tech area. I'm not so much technology-based, I'm just thankful that I was able to get into the program to get my foot into the door so people could understand and grasp the concept that I'm offering.
Now, how did that feel to be? I mean, like, a lot of the focus is around the tech startup boom. Can you take advantage of that somehow, or does that make you feel out of place, or does it?
Actually, for me, a little bit of both. Uh-huh. You know, it can make you feel a little out of your comfort zone, but at the same time, it's your opportunity to shine and show how you are different from the norm or the typical technical.
Your services aren't in the cloud?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
They're not. Not at all.
It's interesting, though. Like, we were just chatting before we came into the studio in the conference room waiting area about how, you know, some ideas around bringing technology into her business. Mm. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of businesses, like, almost any business today is a technology business because you need to leverage certain things. And so to the extent, like, you know, even Missy was able to be a part of that Health Wildcatters program, kind of get that exposure, I think it's super beneficial. And you'll see there's a lot of resources that people can start to take advantage of to learn some of those things, which is great.
Where does other organizations like the Dallas Regional Chamber, does that come into play, or bigger businesses in addition to investors?
Yeah, so I think it's really important for us as an ecosystem to start engaging sort of the bigger corporate entities and the early stage startup community. And I think that's something that's been lacking probably over the past few years. You know, we have the highest concentration of Fortune 500 headquarters in the Dallas area. There's like any company you can think of is here in Dallas. And so we really need to start making those connections and resources, and I think we'll start to see that.
Great. Well, we're talking today with three local startup entrepreneurs. Bradley Joyce, he's founder of Launch DFW, which promotes startups across the Metroplex. And that website for people to know?
It's launchdfw.com.
And Missy Malone, she's founder of Spontaneity Natural Nail Salon and graduate of the Health Wildcatters Accelerator Program that takes place here in Dallas, but it attracts people from across the country and even the world. And we're here with Craig Lewis. He's founder of Kairos Facial Recognition. You can join our conversation by calling 800-933-5372 or by emailing think@kera.org. We'll be back with more after a very short break.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program, accepting applications for this fall to design your own Master of Liberal Studies degree with concentrations in human rights, creative writing, and organizational dynamics. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think. I'm Lauren Silverman, in for Chris Boyd. Today, we're talking with three local startup enthusiasts. Bradley Joyce, he's founder of Launch DFW, which promotes startups across the Metroplex. Missy Malone, she's the founder of Spontaneity Natural Nail Salon and graduate of the Health Wildcatters Accelerator Program, and Craig Lewis, founder of Kairos.com. Let's talk a little bit about the types of startups. We mentioned a few that are taking off in Dallas-Fort Worth. What's hot, Brandon? Bradley, excuse me.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that's really interesting about Dallas is that you have kind of a little bit of everything, but there's definitely a lot of focus around B2B and kind of enterprise startups. So, you know, probably one of the most innovative companies in Dallas right now, in my opinion, is a company called Brainspace. And they've raised $10 million. They're absolutely killing it. They have a really interesting product around kind of what they call post-search technology. So it's using a lot of artificial intelligence and some really, really highly technical stuff to do document discovery and a lot of things like that. So it's a really interesting company here in town. And then, you know, we have a history of a lot of different stuff. So, you know, New Toy, which is a company that did Words with Friends, you know, they got bought by Zynga. They were here in town. You know, SoftLayer, which got bought by IBM, was here in town. So there's from kind of consumer all the way up to the B2B enterprise, there's all kinds of stuff happening here in Dallas.
Is it different than the ecosystem? You said it's very international in Miami, for example. Is it as much of – does it feel very techy here?
No.
No?
it feels very techy in San Francisco. Here there's definitely I think it's a positive thing. There's a traditional business feel. So you're getting this innovative technology, but – with the mentorship in the ecosystem, you're starting to see really good business models built around it. And I think that's something that's unique to Dallas. We know how to do business here. But no, it doesn't feel like super techy.
Yeah. Not compared to
out west. Some of the stuff even seems out there. And I mean, you know, we do facial recognition software. So, you know, we think about things like augmented reality and virtual reality and stuff like that. But you do see really strong business models here, or business level thinking, if you will.
Now, Missy, there's also a pretty big community, which I know you're tapping into in terms of the medical field here. How is that been helpful for your business, and what do you notice about being able to link up with all the hospitals and clinics and so on?
Well, for me, what I have found is, like I said, the nail and foot care industry is definitely a much needed service, and consumers are looking for that safer, healthier option. By us offering the medically safe manicures and pedicures, hospitals and medical facilities trust us. They trust us with their patients, and that's a really big deal. So we've had the opportunity to partner up with several hospitals, major hospitals in the area, cancer facilities, even a podiatrist office. And, you know, since joining the Health Wildcatters program, I continue to get inquiries and that interest from the medical community. So I know we're on to something. It's going to take a while for it to catch on, but we are on the right track.
But it's interesting to see the move towards the tech and medical areas that I've noticed since I've been here.
Yeah, I think that goes back to what Bradley talked about, right? So we have these larger institutions that have been around, and we've got some of the older tech players like TI and different mm-hmm. facilities. We're working with some of the hospitals as well on a facial recognition perspective of making sure that, you know, the right patient is taking the right medication and that you're the right doctor to be administering that. And, you know, with the evolution of the two-way camera, you know, we're able to kind of use facial recognition in that capacity. But we have all of those resources and institutions right here in a very close radius. So why not kind of tackle those? And I think they're starting to see. You see innovation labs popping up mm-hmm. within the big companies like AT&T. We've worked with JCPenney. Pepsi, Frito-Lay, all those people are here, and they're starting to see that, hey, maybe we need somebody to help us with innovation.
Is there a lot of tension between the sort of old school, new school, old money, new money? No one wants to tackle that one.
So it's interesting, right? Like, I think a lot of like Craig was saying, there's definitely a long tradition of business here in Dallas, and I think a lot of people who are sort of in the kind of this new and up and coming kind of class of entrepreneurs, if you will, a lot of us aren't from the Dallas area, and we're not from Texas. All right? We came here from elsewhere, and so we don't have a lot of those, I guess, kind of preconceived notions about personal networks and things that you see a lot here in Dallas. And so I think to some extent there is a little bit of friction, but. I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, a lot of the new entrepreneurs, and especially in technology, are pushing really hard. You know, they're doing innovative things, and they're going to do it whether they have the blessing of anybody else or not. So,
yeah.
You know, we're just trying to create an ecosystem for ourselves that we want to participate in. And I think over time, you know, you'll see a coming together of all those parties.
And I would just add to that. I saw this in Miami. Like, so when we moved to Miami, it was really interesting. They had a bunch of real estate money and a bunch of real estate investors.
Yes.
And this thriving tech ecosystem was starting to happen. And as we were fundraising, we were getting these absurd term sheets, right? Like, they were just trying to, like, take over our company because they didn't understand how to get the value. They didn't understand how to value the IP and different things like that. And then there, actually, the Knight Foundation got involved really heavily in Miami, and you started to see this education amongst the old money and the investors on how do you invest in tech companies and what does that look like and where's the value in the people, the process, and the product. And now you're starting to see really interesting investments and exits in the Miami area. And I see that same path happening here. It's just a matter of educating the oil money, educating the real estate money. And I think, again, we're making good progress there.
It's like learning to use new technology. We have a call from Greg in Frisco. Greg, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Hi, how you doing?
Hi, good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I've worked for a couple of startups on the West Coast and a couple here in the prairie, so to speak, and I'm on my own now. And so I've seen a lot of different kinds of deals, both on the West Coast and here. And I think just to kind of follow up with the point that the gentleman just made, I think it's that ignorance of some really creative ways of valuing companies that really gets in the way sometimes of some very interesting deals. I think, you know, just the lack of exposure to a lot of really interesting and creative people with a background, you know, in these kinds of early startup funding rounds, it really hurts the ability, I think, for this area to really get off the ground for the you know, the seedbed, so to speak, to grow in the region, because you need to have a lot of really tiny startups that fail a lot but have a good influx of cash to sort of grow that flower bed, so to speak. And I think that's kind of lacking here. And I think part of the other reason that it really is held back is because of the culture around startups. And I'm not talking about the startup culture itself, but all the ecosystem that exists on the West Coast of people who understand where startups are in their life cycle, so to speak, so they can make better creative deals for things like marketing services and legal support services that you just can't find here in the prairie, because nobody really understands what the long-term value might be of taking a graduated fee or something along those lines. And I just wanted to make that comment.
Thanks for that comment. Now, that just for people who aren't that familiar with all the or let's talk money for a second and funding and why this is so important. What is he referring to here, Craig?
So even when I talk to other entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs, the phrase I like to use is think bigger, fail faster, get better. But I think in this conversation, it's actually applicable to the investor community. So they need to think bigger, one, right? So you have to take a bigger risk, but you need to fail faster. So if you make more seed investments at a lower level, $25,000 into a business, $50,000 into a business, which is not, you know, a big risk for a lot of these investors, you can start to understand and see how this happens. We just brought on Apple as a client of ours from a facial recognition perspective, and we were in Cupertino. And while we were out there, we made some stops. And one of the places that we visited was selling us on why they should invest in our company. And they said they made 82 investments the last 52 weeks. you learn a lot about a lot of different businesses, a lot of technology, and how to value companies by making that many investments. And they were all seed stage investments. So we're not talking about a massive amount of money, $25,000 to $2 million. And they get really good at it. And then you start to understand. And I think the investor community here needs to get more active, right? They need to fail more, lose 25. That's okay. That's what investment's about, because all it takes is one for you to really hit.
Hmm. Now, Missy, what was your experience asking for money and entering that world from not having a business background and trying to learn about all these rounds of funding? And where are you in that process?
Yeah, still going through it. it's an ongoing process. I often tell people it's like I'm speed dating for investors. I'm trying to make that right match and make sure that it's a partnership. Mm. So for me, you know, we have not yet made the 10 million mark, but, you know, like Craig said, we're doing small steps, small investments, so it's helping us reach our milestones. And I like that, because I'm still very new. I'm not ready to give up a great percent of my company just for the sake of having this huge investment.
And you shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
So you're going through. How are you meeting these investors? How do you reach out to them? And what are your what? I mean, what's the importance? Have you learned of the pitch? And how long is your pitch?
Well, I mean, I still make some really great connections and establish some really wonderful relationships with a lot of the Health Wildcatters mentors and advisors. So I call upon them when I have questions. They've been involved in some of my investment opportunities. So I can always call on them if I have questions or concerns. And then I've even gotten investors from out of the state, you know, asking about our business model. But that also comes from us being involved with the nail industry magazines and, you know, other publications. So,
were you going to have a comment, Craig?
No, I was just going to say entrepreneurs are entrepreneurs, and they're going to raise the money one way or another. And so if this ecosystem and community doesn't fund companies, they'll go get it wherever they have to, right? That's just what entrepreneurs do. They figure out a way to do it. So it'd be great to not only see great companies be built here, but also be funded here as well.
Now, why is it important where the funding comes from? And let's start with that, and then I'll ask you what the risk is if they just leave the state if they can't find the funding.
Yeah, so one of the biggest issues with you know, raising money elsewhere, and especially if you go out to San Francisco and Silicon Valley, the investors out there typically don't like to travel anywhere else. So they'll say, well, we'll put, you know, $1 million into your company, but relocate the business out here so we only have to drive, you know, an hour to the board meeting, right? So there's and that happens all the time. You know, I remember Shop Savvy, which was a company here in town, like that was a problem that they faced, right? And they raised a bunch of money. So that's a really big issue. I think here in Dallas, it kind of goes back to what Craig was saying, just the velocity of investments. I mean, I sat down with probably four investors over the past few months just talking about different things, and literally some of these investors, their entire job for the year is to find two companies to invest in. I mean, and that's just crazy. They're sitting on a pile of money, and like their only responsibility is to invest in two companies a year. You know, and people out in Silicon Valley, like Craig was saying, they're 82 a year. I mean, that's just the difference is staggering, right? The other issue that I see is that a lot of investors here will kind of they'll give you the initial term sheet, and then you're like, okay, great, let's move forward, and then the terms slowly start to change over time, and you don't really see that happening a lot elsewhere. And I haven't really put my finger on it why it happens here in Dallas, but I think that's another issue that we're going to have to overcome.
Huh, that's interesting. It seems like there's a different mindset here, definitely among investors. But I want to back up and talk about why, for people who aren't involved in the startup scene, what does having an ecosystem with lots of small businesses and startups do for the rest of cities, North Texas? What does that provide?
The huge thing that it does, I'm an old payroll guy, come from kind of corporate America, ADP payroll. It creates jobs. Like, it's amazing how, when you think about it, you know, so we're a team of 11 people. Those jobs didn't exist, right? So this is not a transfer of jobs. These are jobs that did not exist. And so the more small businesses and startups that you have, the more job opportunities that are created. On top of creating jobs and kind of spurring the economic environment, you also get this innovation, and it like creates this competitive drive amongst other companies, right? These cool things are happening. Oh, my God, how are we going to compete with this, and how are we going to compete with that? One of the big examples on a larger scale is like Uber and the taxi cabs, right? So like the taxi cabs are they're fighting now, but eventually they're going to have to figure out how to innovate. And I think that's a positive thing. And those same things will happen here in our ecosystem as we get better and better at building companies.
Hmm. Missy?
Yes.
I'm curious for you, in terms of the ecosystem, what have you felt like is missing in terms of support for someone who's trying to enter a startup without having that background already? I mean, if you hadn't gone through and been picked for the Health Wildcatters, would you have been able to do it?
I'm going to say yes. I would have been able to do it, maybe not as quickly. You know, I have spent a great deal of time knocking on doors and making those cold calls. I was doing that before Health Wildcatters. But now, since I can use that as my experience or, you know, as a graduate of Health Wildcatters, you know, it gives me a sense of integrity and credibility. So people are more inclined to respond to my phone calls or my emails or what have you. So again, it's still a work in progress because my business model is so very different from the typical health wildcatters or tech wildcatters startup.
Yeah, it is. Now, what are other options to raise money besides asking, hoping an angel investor chooses you?
Yeah, so I think one of the probably the most often overlooked sources is customers, right? It's definitely very, very possible for you to get your product to a certain point where then you can actually go out and ask customers to help you finance the development of the product. And I think, Craig, you know, you might have some experience around this type of thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Positive and negative. So the positive being, yes, you know, the more traction you can create and get customers paying, it actually helps with investors. But also kind of being in a scenario where you've started the business and you're struggling, but you do have customers that have paid and kind of committed to your business, and they depend on your business, and being able to then ask those customers, say, hey, you know, we may go out of business. And then it's interesting how the business community, if, you know, your customer base starts to kind of rally behind you. In addition to customers, though, I think, you know, besides your traditional investors, there's friends and family. You don't necessarily have to raise. We've raised a total of $1.7 million, and we're going into our Series B. It'll be about $7 million. But maybe you can go get $1,000 here, $5,000 from this buddy. Start to think about who's in that Rolodex.
Just don't promise them anything back.
Yeah, no, don't promise them. Tell them it's a startup, 100% risk, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think there's a lot of – and then there's, you know, SBA loans and different things like that. You just got to be resourceful and think about it. Crowdfunding is another big tool that people are using now to raise money as well.
We're talking today with three local startups, startup enthusiasts, entrepreneurs. Bradley Joyce, he's founder of Launch DFW, which promotes startups across the Metroplex, North Texas. Missy Malone, founder of Spontaneity Natural Nail Salon and graduate of the Health Wildcatters Accelerator Program. And Craig Lewis, founder of Kairos.com. You can join our conversation by calling 800-933-5372. Or by emailing think@kera.org. You can also send me a tweet. I'm @LSilverwoman. We'll be back with more after a short break.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program, accepting applications for this fall to design your own Master of Liberal Studies degree with concentrations in human rights, creative writing, and organizational dynamics. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA. I'm Lauren Silverman, in for Chris Boyd. Today we're talking with three local entrepreneurs. Bradley Joyce, he's founder of Launch DFW, which promotes startups across North Texas. Missy Malone, founder of Spontaneity Natural Nail Salon. And Craig Lewis, founder of Kairos.com. So cities across the country are competing to attract startups. And I was looking up some different news, announcements, trying to get super fast internet, even giving money away. In St. Louis, I saw 20 young businesses were recently given $50,000 each to relocate. How is Dallas trying to attract small businesses and startups, and is it doing enough? Bradley?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's certainly a number of initiatives, I think, happening kind of at the city level. You know, the Dallas Entrepreneur Center is very connected with the city of Dallas, and they have a number of things going on. I think really a lot of people are just recognizing sort of the facts that are out there about Dallas, right? Like we've been talking about low cost of living, low taxes, all those things. And there's a number of things like that you've just mentioned, you know, high speed internet, right? So in the Deep Ellum neighborhood, there's a company called Opus 3 that has just finished laying a fiber optic internet throughout that whole neighborhood. And if you're in the Deep Ellum area in Dallas, you can now get a gigabit internet up and down, which is crazy. It's probably the fastest internet in Dallas, right? And there's just a lot of other things happening locally. There's the Dallas Entrepreneur Center's partner with Comerica for a $50,000 pitch competition for startups, any type of startup, small business in North Texas. So there's certainly opportunities like that to win money in those types of competitions as well.
Yeah. And so when you look at other markets and why do people want to go to those markets, at the end of the day, we need entrepreneurs to have big vision and great execution, right? And because those lead to big exits. And so as other cities start to see companies like SoftLayer being acquired for $2 billion, which I like to say that was 3.2 because as soon as they got acquired, they got another 1.2. but that's like a huge exit, right? And we need more of those. I think PeopleAnswers just got acquired by N4 for $200 million. We need to broadcast those types of stories. And other people will be attracted to it because they'll think it can happen in Dallas. And entrepreneurs also just need to build better companies with bigger visions. I think there's a magnetic thing that happens there when entrepreneurs are drawn to other entrepreneurs.
So there is that sort of cluster effect that you see happen as well.
Absolutely.
Draws people in.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And I think one of the reasons I started Launch DFW back in 2010 was that there wasn't any sort of density at all in the startup community. And so Launch DFW was sort of an initial step to start to create that, at least online, right? So one of the things that's really exciting to me is that now that there's definitely a lot of momentum around the downtown area of Dallas, both Tech Wildcatters and Health Wildcatters have just moved into a new building downtown. The Dallas Entrepreneur Center is now in the West End. The Grove is in the West End, which is a co-working space. So there's a lot of momentum around the downtown area. And even now, as you're going to lunch, grabbing coffee, you're starting to bump into people. And that kind of density allows for these serendipitous connections and conversations. And I think that'll help a lot to spur the local ecosystem.
And I've heard also there's a lot of growth going on up in Denton, too, recently. And I'm curious, since our office here at KERA is in Dallas, in Fort Worth, what is the scene like downtown there? How has it grown? I don't know if you spend any time there, Missy.
Now, you know, this is still all very new to me. So as far as the whole networking opportunity, most of the opportunities I know of are in the Dallas area. Mm-hmm. And maybe Craig can speak on that in Fort Worth.
Yeah, so my father-in-law is the head basketball coach at TCU, Trent Johnson. So I spend a lot of time in the Fort Worth area. Bradley, we were just at an event at what's the spot called?
Fort Worth.
Yeah, Fort Worth, uh-huh. and had an event there. And there's a bunch of things happening. I've had some one-off conversations with some entrepreneurs in the Fort Worth area just via LinkedIn or whatnot. And you see that starting to happen. I think what will happen, though, that density and those collisions that are happening downtown, again, we talked about it at a national level, but it'll also start to happen at a local level where you'll start to see more things happening in Denton, in Fort Worth, talking to people even in Waco, right? So it's going to start in Dallas at the end of the day, but the better job we do in the Dallas area, I think you'll start to see more happening in Fort Worth and surrounding areas as well.
We have an email, a question from Suzanne in Dallas. She wants to know what's the best way to go about networking and connecting with startups for the purpose of employment, getting employment with these companies. We're talking a lot about networking to try and get investment, but what about when you're trying to find employees?
LaunchDFW.com.
He'll make the plug there. Is it really the same way that people are meeting for other purposes?
Yeah, so, I mean, just a quick little plug. I won't try not to do this too much, but we do have a job board on Launch DFW. So a lot of tech companies are posting their available jobs there. So that's one place to start looking. And then there's definitely a lot of tech events that go on every month where you just show up and you start meeting people, right? I mean, just a little bit old school, that's the great way to do it. I mean, that's how I got connected here in the local community to myself. So Dallas New Tech is a great event to do that at, which is once a month, first Tuesday of the month. Things like Dallas Startup Happy Hour. There's, user groups for a lot of the different programming language that these tech companies are using. So that's a great place to meet people as well. It's just a lot of networking.
And what was her name again?
Her name's Suzanne.
Suzanne, I'd also say go out and meet somebody and just start a company. Why go work for somebody? Just go start it.
That's the true entrepreneurial spirit coming out there. We have a call also from someone, Charles, in Dallas. He has a question about the politics of Texas. Charles, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for holding on. Now tell me what your question is.
Well, it relates to impediments to entrepreneurship in North Texas, and specifically given the fact that Texas is viewed as and indeed is a red conservative state, given that moniker, does the panel think it acts as a factor to discourage new entrepreneurs from even considering Texas as a place to locate?
Thanks, Charles. Craig, you're shaking your head.
Interestingly enough, I think it helps. So a good friend of mine actually, we grew up together, and he's a political junkie. So I get to play sit in those circles a little bit anyways. But, I think as a red state, or there's a lot of things that are conducive to business friendly. I think that's the way that side of the house kind of thinks. So I think those things are good. Any disadvantage is always an advantage to a true entrepreneur. So I think you can take advantage of kind of some of those things that are in play and just use them to your advantage. But I think being a red state, it makes us more business friendly. Yeah, I saw an article not too long ago that per capita, we have the most billionaires of any city in the United States. And that's because it is so business friendly. That shouldn't be any different for startups.
And you're seeing a lot of big corporations move, like leaving California, right, and coming to the Dallas area. So it was like Toyota just relocated their headquarters.
Raytheon.
Right. There was another one just recently announced. I forget the name of it, but they're bringing like 1,000 jobs to downtown.
Amazon's moving out. Box is coming out to Texas as well.
So you're seeing all these companies, right, that are kind of looking at the not only the political ecosystem, but like the financial ecosystem in their home state and saying, like, maybe we should take a look at some of these other places where it's a little more business friendly, and Texas is at the top of a lot of people's lists.
So it's hard to talk startups in North Texas without talking a little bit about Mark Cuban. We've made it so far almost to the end of the hour, so I'm proud. Seriously, though, is he seen as sort of a god in the startup world here? Or what's the perception of him as an emblem of startup success?
Yeah, I think he's definitely that, an emblem. A lot of people kind of want to – he's accessible. And I think it's a very positive thing what he's doing. We actually just a couple weeks ago got invited to audition for Shark Tank. But we're a little bit, I think, maybe past that, and that stuff would all have to go through board approval. But I think it's extremely positive, right? Anything that speaks to entrepreneurship in this area is a good thing. And I think he's doing something like $100,000 every 2 weeks to companies, whether they're here or not. But he's promoting that ecosystem. And I think that's a good thing. And I mean, you know, the Mavericks are cool, so why not?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely one of the more active investors around, right? And I think one of the things that makes Mark really unique is that he is super accessible. Like, his email is pretty public. You can find it pretty much anywhere. You can email him anytime. Like, you know, he's an investor in CyberDust, and he's actively soliciting people to message him through these systems. So, you know, you can reach out to him. I've sent Mark my deck. I've gotten in touch with his people. I've pitched him, like, almost raised a deal from him. And I know a lot of people who have just sent him a random email, and they've gotten funding, right?
You mean you don't have to go through Shark Tank?
Nah.
That's going to be a big relief to a lot of people.
So, yeah, he's definitely definitely active, definitely accessible, and I think that's good for the local ecosystem.
And if you're listening, Mark, Craig Lewis here.
Oh, so Missy, what do you wish someone had told you before you jumped into starting a business? What are some of the things that stand out that you wish you had known that would have been helpful?
I think things happen just the way they were supposed to for me, because if I had known about a lot of the things that I know now, I may not have been willing to do it, because fear has it can be a big, scary thing. So for me, just going into it with uncertainty and just being transparent, that was the best option for me.
How about you, for you, Craig?
Same thing, I think. Yeah. Well, not the same thing, but kind of the same thing. Things happen the way they're supposed to happen, right? And the biggest thing that I've kind of learned throughout this journey is just the ability to take action, like try it, right? I don't know it. Every day I try to do something that I haven't done. And so building up that courage to try new things, and we were talking about this earlier, really just becoming comfortable with the uncomfortable. It's what it's all about. And so the better you can be at that, for anybody that hasn't done it, that's nervous, that's perfect. Start right there. I think that's the biggest thing, is to be able to take that action and overcome your fear.
It does seem like there's a lot more resources now, and I'm hopefully as more resources become available, whether it's Launch DFW or other places, it won't be as scary as maybe it was a few years ago for someone to jump into this field. Do you see people leaving their jobs or leaving safety nets to try this, Bradley?
Yeah. I mean, it happens all the time. And I think one of the things that's really interesting about Dallas in particular is that, you know, you find out there's a lot of great talent, technical talent here in the Metroplex at all these corporations. And, you know, eventually they kind of get to the point, they see the activity that's going on. They say, okay, well, maybe I want to, you know, take that jump. And I think, you know, now there's certainly a lot of support kind of around making that decision, and definitely people taking that leap all the time. I think, you know, in terms of really taking the jump and going after, I think Missy's a great example, right, of, you know, didn't really know kind of all these things, but just went for it. And then eventually kind of the ecosystem came in and is now helping facilitate some of that stuff. So that's really, you know, when you look at an entrepreneur, they're going to do it regardless. They're going to do it anyway. But to the extent that we can sort of bring these resources together and help support each other and kind of bring all that together in the community, we're going to be a lot more successful.
So let's talk about a few ideas for names for this region now. Yeah,
we
said
some.
Silicon Prairie isn't ideal. What are there any other names you've heard or any other things you've thought of that might be appropriate for the growing North Texas entrepreneur?
We should crowdsource
I think that right now we will crowdsource. And
people should start tweeting us with their ideas right now, I think.
Yeah, tweet us because I haven't heard anything good yet.
Yeah, so one of the things that's always fascinated me about coming to Texas, I actually spent the first couple years over in the Fort Worth side and then most recently over here in Dallas. They're very different cities, but one of the things that always struck me about Dallas is that the people here have definitely made an effort to sort of separate themselves from sort of the cowboy and like the, you know, the sort of traditional kind of Texas vibe. So, you know, whether it's the prairie, I don't know, ranch, you probably could do ranch.
I think there's a play around Lone Star, like, because, you know, we're a very proud state. And I think, you know, prairie and Silicon, neither one of those really define our states or our city. So I think, you know, doing something around that, I mean, you know, everybody's talking about big. So, you know, there could be a play there. But, yeah, I'd have to give it some more thought. But I think there's an opportunity to come up with something better than Silicon Prairie. I'll just say it.
Now, one more question for you, Craig. You are in the high tech field. Mm-hmm. How has finding people to work for you and finding access to people who have that education background been here in Dallas-Fort Worth?
Yeah, so I, you know, my partner Brian Burkeen handles a lot of the product side, and so as far as our engineers and stuff, he takes care of that side, and I'm more of the growth team.
Mm-hmm.
And here, actually, locally, you know, enterprise sales reps, people experience at places like PeopleSoft and Oracle and Microsoft, they're not that hard to come by, actually. The challenge has been, though, this modern approach to technology that we take, right, versus I like to call some people PCs and some people are Macs. Finding people that have experience growing massive amounts on the PC side, but that can adapt to a Mac lifestyle is a little challenging. But the talent's there. It's just about educating. So, yeah, Dallas is a great area, which is why it's our second location for us.
Our guests today are three local startup entrepreneurs: Bradley Joyce, founder of Launch DFW, which promotes startups across the Metroplex; Missy Malone, founder of Spa 1080 Natural Nail Salon; and Craig Lewis, founder of Kairos.com. Thanks again to each of you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker and engineered by Shelley Canavy. Once again, I'm Lauren Silverman. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.